everybody. We're coming to you live right here from inside the main build facility at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. It's Monday morning, almost the 4th of July. I'm Tom, the ladies' man, sitting in the air conditioning. Entering stage right is the Master Bub. Good morning, Bub. How are we doing today, man?
So this is a tight shot. So for the fact that we are completely cut off at the knees, don't worry about it. We do have the rest of our legs.
That's okay, Bub. I'm a midget anyways.
Well, this is true.
I'm not exactly like 6'3".
Yeah, except your ID says 6'2". Wait, never mind. Just go check all the Google charts. People out there know your true height.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they know the whole story, don't they, Bub? How was the weekend, man?
Pretty good. You know, it's a lot of stuff got done. We were actually in here cranking out a couple extra hours here this weekend trying to get a few of these major rides caught up and up to date. So we got a lot of extra work done, but we did have some downtime. We had some fun. Not really. I just worked all weekend
long.
You did work all weekend, didn't you, man?
Yeah. It was a good thing. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, ladies and gentlemen. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique. The moose is loose full time on the web now. MissOutlawBoutique.com, Bub. Orange County Choppers. Orange County Choppers are, Bub.
Choppers done Bubba style.
What's going on with the episode for tonight?
Okay, so tonight is actually going to be a rerun of last week's episode. So that is going to be something that if you guys did watch last week's episode, which was the father-son, the Mayo bike.
The Mayo bike, yes,
that which was the striping bike. So if you guys did watch that, also Junior did the trike for 811. So if you guys watched that episode, that is going to be the same ones airing tonight. There will be a new one the following Monday coming up next week.
And we spoke to the crew over there. Why did they decide to re-air this one tonight?
Well, just because they didn't want to air a brand new episode on like a holiday style weekend to where, you know, maybe there's a 50-50 shot of people would be out traveling maybe across the world. So they didn't want to just throw out a brand new one for maybe 50% chance of viewers watching it.
So we pick up next week then, Bub, with a brand new episode.
Yeah.
And we will bring you that live as soon as we have it, Bub. I think we'll have it Friday.
Yeah, we typically get them end of the week.
End of the week. Okay. Good morning to Jack out there in Ontario, Canada. Thank you for joining us. So, Bub, we're going to talk a little bit about this 1970 Buick GS.
Yeah.
The GS was a different breed of cat in that it was a little different because it had the 455. There were stage models to this. Tell us a little bit about the history of this.
Yeah, man. So, you know, these cars from this body style, 68 to 72, which was like it did the Buick model line, which was the GS. There was the GSX. There was, the 455.
Yep.
There were all different model lines across there. Let's see here. Who did the Skylark? Skylark
Buick.
Was also Buick, correct? Yeah, so there was
same
the Skylark. Same body style, same car, but kind of like your grocery getter version, right? A lot of people took Skylarks, turned them into the GSs. Nothing wrong with that, but they're just clones. That's all they are at the end of the day. Same thing went along with the Chevelles. The Chevelle was like the Mac Daddy of that 68 to 72 model year.
The Malibu and Chevelles.
Malibu and Chevelle, right? Yep. So there was that grocery getter Malibu, which was a fun cruiser, typically known for like bench seats, column shift, you know, basic stuff, you know, had all the fun stuff you would want in them, had the power steering, had the air conditioning, sometimes not really powerful on the motors, straight sixes, even going into small V8s, the 307s were sometimes used back then.
Oh, that's right, yeah, the 307s were.
So motors that just sounded big, but they just made no power at all, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But there were, you know, let's see, there was the Chevelle line, there, which was the Chevrolet side of it, there was the Buick side of it, Pontiac did, let's see, they did... What are they doing in this freaking car?
Didn't they have the Tempest? They did the Tempest,
right? Which also went into the GTOs, which was like the Judge.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people remember that car as like the bright orange. It said the Judge on the side
with the orange
yellow lettering. That car was a monster. So every one of them had like a base model, and then they had that high performance street serious muscle and power.
Right. This is actually going to be a GS clone is what it's going to be. Good morning to our good friend Spanky out there at Spanky's Hot Rods. Thank you for joining us. Spanky, let's get on a phone call later on today. I need to check on the subject we were discussing 2 weeks ago, Bub? 2 weeks ago.
Possibly. I don't know what you guys were discussing.
I didn't share it with you.
There is a freaking mosquito in here. God dang it, man. He's got like four times. Yeah, with that nose for
this
sure.
This nose could get anything, ladies and gentlemen. So good morning, Spanky. How you doing out there? So, Bub, this is a standard GS model with a 455. The 455 produced more torque than probably any other motor that ever came out, the Buick 455, than ever came out of Detroit at the time.
Yeah, these things were they were pretty solid, man. For what they were, you know, they pulled their weight just fine. They were definitely tire shredders, man. These things were gobs of torque, not so much of crazy power, but serious amounts of torque, and hooked up to like the factory, for example. This one's an original turbo 400 transmission, 3-speed automatic with an electronic kickdown. So these things would shred the tires first through third gear. But then, like, once they caught traction, it was like, oh.
That's exactly about all
that these things had.
A lot of people don't know, Bub, these cars had as much torque as the Vipers, the first gen Vipers.
No, that's right. They did.
That's,
yeah.
That's how much strength and power they had.
Yeah.
Bub, this car's been here a little over 3 years. This is a complete frame up restoration
yeah.
that we're doing. We wanted everybody to see it. Good morning to Chris Bollinger, Bub. Chris Bollinger says, perfect GM, guys. Yes, indeed, Spanky. That's correct. Everybody, check out Spanky's Hot Rods. Chris, Jack, all you guys, you want to see somebody who builds some nice hot rods? Check out Spanky's
Serious
Hot
stuff,
Rods.
Yeah. Serious street machines.
Serious
yeah.
rides. And we've been together since the Indianapolis show, Hot Rod show, many, many years. Spanky's a great dude. He got so popular, he had to scale it back. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, man. And, you know, sometimes that's what you got to do, too, is, you know, really slow it down. And that's kind of what we've done here at BDM as well. We have shifted the business model to a lot more of the modern performance, more so for the area that we are in now.
Yeah.
It's just our clientele base, you know, with building for some of the celebrities, building for a lot of these ballplayers here locally. It's a lot of that modern performance. Some of these guys have huge collections of pro touring style cars where they have the 60s, 70s muscle car era
sure.
stuff. That we've done full builds on those as well. But these restorations, as everybody knows out there, if you've ever done one, to do the job properly takes a freaking really long time. And that's what we wanted to talk to you guys about today with this 70 GS that we've done full frame on, frame up restoration on this
yep.
thing. And I'll tell you what, man, we are 2+ years into this car.
Almost, we're 3 years into this car.
It is now into, this is of course our main build facility here. We're in our corner where we've got everything lined up for this car at the very front of it. We have tables lined up with all the parts on
yes.
it laid out. So it's literally kind of grab and go. But in part of doing that, you've got to make sure you're putting pieces on at the proper timing. And that's what led us into this whole 7-step how-to on polishing and things like that. We have a lot of people that ask us from, like, our Instagram feeds that we do,
yes.
are your photos edited? Because the
no.
clarity that we do in our paint
no
is
photos are edited.
Absolutely insane. From 20, 30, 40 feet back, you can literally stand and read every last piece or see every arm hair in your body.
We do have one of our fans standing offset. Would you like to say good morning to her, Bub?
What's up, girl? She's chilling.
She's just
very
chilling
quiet.
Over there offset. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Bollinger is watching us. Chris has a question based on Saturday's suspension show, Bub.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask that question live of you. A lot of people don't know. I do not preempt you with questions, just as none of our shows are script. We go live, and I'm going to bring it to you. I have it written down.
All right, you talk for a minute. I'll be right back. I'm going to do a little.
Good.
I'm going to do a commercial in here. Hold on.
Sounds good. Bub's going to do a commercial, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be an impromptu commercial. Impromptu is like the guys from Whose Line Is It? Anyways, so anyways, Jack says his favorite Chevelle is a 66 SS Chevelle, Bub.
So, pretty good year. And before I get into that 66, that was pre-68 to 72, what I consider
Box Nova?
That, well, no, not the Nova. So, if you're talking Chevelle, totally different animals, like a little miniature version than a big boy version. Before we get into that, we need to discuss off. In South Florida's beautiful weather, you do need your own bottle of off.
Spray that and I'll disappear.
No, it doesn't work for you. And don't worry, I'm down here spraying my kneeless body.
That's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a special factory paint that Bub took and mixed some pearl paint with it. It is a beautiful, beautiful shade of blue.
Well, it's actually
with a lot of metal flake.
What started is the client wanted this car again. This is a, it started as a GS, and you're going to move the camera again? God dang it, every time. So he wanted the GS, he wanted it as close to original as possible. This car is a true numbers car. Everything, motor, transmission, drivetrain does match. He did want to do something that was a little bit more of a pop, but not too extravagant to where the average guy couldn't tell. So we did use the original GM Diplomat Blue in this car, but we took this thing over the top and added a lot of silver metallic flakes. So when this thing hits in the sun, which we will post up some photos after the 7-step polish is done, it is incredible the way this thing sparkles like a diamond.
Now, Bub, I see right here there's a difference. Did you forget to paint here? Because this is awful dull versus this. Even in the subdued non-sunlight, you can still see the pearls coming through the paint.
Let me wipe that off for you. Hold on.
And Bub's going to explain to us why. We can also see set up here, ladies and gentlemen, the different stages of polishing compounds that Bub uses with the corresponding pad. Yeah, white goes with white, gray goes with black, and blue goes with blue here.
So what you guys are actually looking at, and it's good that you actually brought the camera up here. So what you're seeing is a before after. So at this body line from here down, and the reason I started at that section here, I've already done the wet sanding to that part. I've done all 4 steps up to now where we're about to start polishing, right? Where we actually start cutting down these scratches. So I've started with, and I laid out a couple different products here. Everything that we use from a polish and wet sanding standpoint is all 3M-based products, even going into their modern Trizac series, which is all foam backing pads, Trizac series that are actually a Velcro-style backing on them, make this not only a perfect product when it was done, but also something that's a little bit quicker to do. So You start with, for example, we started with 1,000. We actually did cut this car down with 1,000. We were 4 coats of heavy clear on this car, so we did cut this thing down with 1,000 just to remove any imperfections that were in this paint, any sort of orange peel that may have been there. We cut it down with that 1,000 first, and then you lightly just keep stepping up from there to refine those scratches. So 1,000 can go into 2, or it can go into 1,000 and then 1,500, which is not laid out, and then a 2, and then a 3. These are all what we use by hand. These are rectangular sheets. We use those with different style pads. So you have something like a DuraBlock, which is very hard and firm. This works great on working areas that are truly flat. So across this trunk, you can literally almost like blocking the car when you've already done all that body work to it, very similar style. You can block this trunk with wet sanding of 1,000, 15, 2, 3, whatever step it is you're on, whatever process it is, and this will give you a great base to start cutting through. Or if you're working on something a little softer, a little bit more curvature, the back edge of this trunk I did with an actual flexible style hard foam. So this is a great piece to where you're not going to cut through and burn on any edges, because you can go a little softer. It will roll over those edges. It does flex, so it will go over these edges very nicely without cutting through super hard like a very hard block would. This block does not want to flex at all.
Bub, I noticed we have here as well. Let's ask, Jack would like to know, up there in Ontario, Canada, Bub, is that an original Florida car?
Ooh, you know, that's the information I'm not quite sure of, Jack, but I could find out from the client, and we will keep you posted on that. I will say, though, this car, when we did get it to us, was in pretty decent condition. Again, great for, and you know what we'll do? We'll do a Facebook story on this car, start to finish, because let me tell you,
will.
When this car came in, it looked like a car that from 20 feet away, it could win some trophies. Like, it was a good-looking car, looked great.
Until you looked at the body down the side.
Yeah, man, but once we actually took this thing, we pulled the whole, I mean, everything. This car was a full frame-on restoration, so literally we pulled everything down to the body of the car just sitting on the chassis, but the whole front clip from firewall forward was off, doors were off, trunk was off, everything was off the car, of course, detrimmed. Once we started cutting into this thing and really revealing some of that, what looked like decent paint, there were literally, we'll actually show before after photos of just one door, for example. One of the doors literally had like 20 bullet holes down the side.
That's correct.
Kid you not, that were just bondoed full of Bondo. And you could tell they were bullet holes by the way that they all tapered in, just all the way down the side of the car. So no idea what the history of this thing may have been, but some crazy, crazy work has gone on with it, all the way down to like the front fender had like a 30-inch long gouge in it that was probably an inch and a half deep. That was, again, just full of Bondo and fiberglass resin. So it's things like that that even from 20 feet away, these cars look great. These older rides look great. Really, once you start getting into them, you're like, holy crap, we can't just scuff this thing with 320 or 400. We've got to go all the way down to raw metal, and we've got to bring it back out.
And that's what people don't understand. One thing leads to the next, leads to the next. This car has literally, ladies and gentlemen, been here for 3 years as we took the time to step down. Of course, you can't charge the client more money. You just got to push through and get the job done. Good morning to Jeff Graham, Bob.
Well, you know, and that's kind of, and we'll do some stuff too on Jeff's here just in the next couple of days.
And this car we just worked on this morning again.
Yeah, man, same thing. So, you know, we'll do some of that stuff where you take these big projects and you start getting into them, and then what you get is a mess on your hands, but you have to push through to that final product, because at the end of the day, it's got to be 100% when it rolls out of here, and that's what we've got here now. So we just discussed this part that's already been done from body line down at the trunk. The reason I did that is I want to start having my guys trim this car. We do have all of the stainless polish trim for here, the new trunk lock, all the way down to, like, you know, door handles, lock cylinders, things like that. So it's one full match key the way it should be, not five different keys.
That's
from
the way
over
it came
years.
In too.
We do have, you know, emblems over here that are the GS455 on the sides that need to be put in. So what we want to do is start trimming this car. So while I'm wet sanding and buffing the rest of the car, the guys can be putting hands, tools, and equipment, components, trim, emblems, things like that on this car. So it's kind of like the whole team goes on it, all hands on deck, right? And this thing gets put together in a pretty quick amount of time now that is out of that long-term paint shop.
Sure. It takes a while. Bub, we can see these are signs of some of the car's use. This is the T-fitting, the airline T-fitting with a Schrader valve in it for the air shocks that somebody once ran on this car because they didn't want to do the shackles properly or the leaf springs properly on the car itself, Bub.
Well, you know, and that's what you get into. You know, you start seeing this kind of stuff, and you know, all of the bumpers, everything for the chrome on this car has already been triple plated chrome. We actually had, of course, our one and only sponsor, Pat at Palm Beach Plating, do all the chrome on this car, and it is phenomenal. So while it looks like a mess right now, that is just from compounding from doing the wet sanding and buffing here, or the wet sanding here. We haven't got into that buff step yet, but that is our next key, right? So what you guys saw here in this matte style finish is everything from hand 1000, we stepped it up from that 1,000, we went to a hand 1,500, a hand 2,000, so you got three steps of hand sanding there. And then I didn't keep any hand sanding going past that, so three layers of hand sanding, 1,000, 1,500, and two. Now what I did was I stepped over into that Trizact, which is why you see an air hose rolled up on the side. That is a DA air-powered style system, where you do nothing more than keep this wet, keep the panel wet that you are going to be operating with. And I actually went for my final fourth cut on that, which was a fine three, and that is on a super soft foam back, so it does not cut down anymore, but all it does is refine all of those heavier scratches from the two, the 15, the one. As you keep going, those scratches get finer and finer and smaller, and then you move into your actual cutting and polishing steps, which is the one, two, and three that you've laid out here, which you explained perfectly earlier. White goes with white, very simple. Black goes with black, and the reason for that is they are all different coarseness. So one being your cut, that's gonna remove these scratches. Everything right out of there. One can actually remove all the way down to 1500 style scratches, but when you want that mirror quality shine, the finer you can get those scratches, the more clarity you're gonna get out of that clear when you're done. So we actually go all the way up to as far as three, sometimes even five, depending on some of our SEMA rides out there. We will go up as far as 5,000 on wet sand, which is literally like softest paper, like a white sheet of paper.
And the funny thing is too, Bub, people don't understand. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for this. Bub will have 200 hours just into the wet sanding and buffing on this vehicle alone.
Yeah, you know, it's probably each panel can take you, depending on how much time you're putting into it and how much effort you're putting into it. Keep in mind, you're doing seven passes. So each panel is going to get seven passes on it. Probably, for example, like just this section here, I'll probably have 2 hours minimum just in this panel here before I can start putting these emblems on it. So when it doesn't seem like that's a lot, when you start doing seven passes on it, I'll probably have a little longer than 2 hours in it. You start doing a whole car and you can easily have a week's worth of time, 2 weeks worth of solid time, one panel a day, if you're not rushing the job and you're going for that mirror quality shine. And that's exactly what this car is gonna have. We will have, and we'll post up photos this afternoon, so stay tuned for both Facebook and Instagram feeds. You'll see the before afters of this thing, and it is, I kid you not, going to knock you out.
But Jack says, wow, he didn't know that took that much time. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it takes that much time to do it right. Jack said back in the day, he bought a 70 Cuda from down here in Florida, and the car looked mint, but it had no trunk pan left in it.
I could see that, especially with all the salt.
But coming off of Saturday's show, Chris Bollinger, a longtime friend of ours, has a 1990 Trans Am. Great cars, man. Phenomenal cars.
Really good,
super
actually,
cool cars. He wants to drop a... he wants to drop it down a little bit. You got to excuse me. I scratched his nose right before we went on the air. He wanted to drop it down. He wants to drop it down a little bit. He sees that there are progressive rate and non-progressive rate springs. Mm-hmm. What are progressive rate springs?
So they're all going to be, and this is different with different spring companies out there. So to start, so the third gens, and I actually responded to Chris earlier this morning at 5:30. Okay. So, you know, to go to that question, in different brands of spring technology, there is everything from progressives, non-progressives. So some of them are going to be a standard rate all the way throughout the spring, and some of them are going to be almost multi-rate, where you have a softer set of coils at one section of the spring and a firmer set at another part. So sometimes going to be very good for kind of that street strip style use, where it's going to give you both sides of it, or you can go with a firmer, more
it's
aggressive ride.
Coil tighter than at one section?
Yeah, so it's, hold on. I'll grab a spring.
We're going to get you an actual demonstration here, ladies and gentlemen. The things we will go to for our fans around the world. But that's what we love. By the way, while Bub's doing that, ladies and gentlemen, blogtalkradio.com, doing it Bubba style. We now have a brand new chat room open on that. I've got it open currently. We started that today. And the show's also moving over to TuneIn, which is where you'll find Google and the entire home subscription. So we're honored to tell you that we now have TuneIn, T-U-N-E-I-N, which is Google. You'll be able to do...
No idea what he's talking about.
So in other words, Bub, you know how in your house you've got the speaker that you say, you know, hey, Google,
Alexa.
What's the... Alexa. Now you can just say, doing it Bubba style, and our podcast and our daily show up automatically.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
Yes, sir. These are a set of iBox springs, Bub. You're a fan of the iBox spring, unless you're doing Euros and you're using H&K.
Right.
H&R.
H&R. So I'll tell you what, man. So luckily, we actually have a set here, and this goes to what I sent Chris this morning. So this is a true set of iBox sport lines. This is not their pro kit. Their pro kit is their entry-level drop. And Chris, this is honestly directly for you. Their pro kit is a Black Series spring, in case most guys out there don't know. And their sport line is gloss red. So that is the difference between the two. Their sport line does drop the car lower than their pro kits. I've been using the iBox for a very long time. They're a great price spring, unless we are getting into some of our, let's say, you know, Ford Mustangs, things like that, which we are strictly all Steeda on those style rides, everything from like mid-70s all the way up to today, we run all Steeda components on them. But this one, for example, this is a great setup that is actually for a 68 to 72 Chevelle. So not the same for this car, but this is a set that we have. We typically color match these things to the car or do them in like a factory finish black. For example, if we wanted to do, you know, a lowering kit on this, we could do these things in a black. But this is actually a progressive rate spring. As you can see, coils are about evenly spaced here. The bottom or the top half of the spring is actually very tight, but that is the kind of softer portion of that spring so that it does absorb bumps a little bit better. And then this is actually the portion of the spring that does hold that vehicle weight up.
So it could be for a vehicle that has a little bit firmer rear end that you're trying to set up for maybe the strip application.
Yeah, you know, there's different wants and desires for them. You know, when I start looking at springs and stuff, I look at my brands. Of course, I go straight to brand, and I need to know what ride height you're trying to set. And then from progressive to non-progressive rates from there, you can literally look at those as well.
But why is this spring so much different than this one?
So this is simply for the fact that the front, which is in your, that's on the audience's left hand, but that's your right, that is actually a front spring for a coil strut assembly. And this one is just a basic spring that goes between the upper and lower perch.
And Bob, I see finally I have these two items right here in my hand. Both look a little bit different. Let's share them with the audience as well, and we'll see what these are, Bob.
Yeah, so those are actually just nothing more than nipples, butt plugs.
These are nipples, you see.
That's not what those are. Those are actually, and if we need to delete that because Facebook will ban us for that, who cares? Those are actually bump stops. So typically when you lower your car, if you are working with something that needs some sort of adjustment or modification because of the amount of drop you are doing, they will provide you with the necessary bump stops to replace your factory ones that are typically going to be longer than that, so you don't bottom out on the factories before that spring does its job. It will send you a separate set. The company will give you a proper length set so that it will bottom out at the efficient time.
Well, Jack Blyo says he loves the show. Good morning to your brother.
Nate. So in all, what I had suggested to Chris Bollinger with his third gen, if you are working with something like, and there's nothing wrong with it, entry-level budgets, me personally, in my previous experience of a lot of third gens, trust me when I tell you a lot, that was my favorite car, a lot of third gens, I've always run the iBox Sport lines. When you're looking for something that is maybe in the $250 to $300 range for a set of springs for all four, so not bad, looking like $75 a spring, not bad at all.
No, not bad at all.
You get these things, you put them on in a few hours' time. The rear of those cars, super quick to put on. The front, kind of annoying. You just need to make sure you're super, super safe with that lower ball joint and the way that control arm pivots down on that lower strut. That is the only thing you need to be really concerned of, and the factory front springs on those cars for some reason are super, super long. So the new fronts are a lot easier to put in when you do put them in because they are much shorter, but the spring rate is much firmer.
So Bub, you're suggesting that it is okay. His follow-up question was, should he just leave it alone? You're saying no. You can make the change.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely make the change, especially for, I think, what he had mentioned is he just wants a nice daily car, right? So if you're looking for a daily, you don't want to go throwing tons of money at it. You just want to set that stance. You want to improve that handling characteristic a little bit. That, to me, would be a great company or brand to go with. And there are plenty out there, man. There is BMR sells full kits for those cars if you want to maybe build into the future, right? So a lot of guys, iBox doesn't sell full components for F-body style, you know, third-gen Camaros or Firebirds. Companies like BMR, they sell everything you could possibly imagine, from tubular K-members to upper and lower control arms to Panhard rods to three-link diagonal rears for those cars. So if you wanted to build into your future and know that you're going to be doing further upgrades, maybe want to lean away from the iBox if you're going to build into the future, and you want to go with maybe a brand like BMR to where you can match all those components to something that's proven and tested together, where their springs are meant to work with their lower control arms, whether they're boxed or tubular or fully adjustable, stock length. Plenty of options out there, but just make sure you do your research. If you're looking for a personal and professional opinion,
reach out.
Reach out, and we will help you out.
By the way, you can send any questions you have to sales at bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Sales at bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Or come directly to me, Tom, at bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Either way, ladies and gentlemen, it comes right to this phone, this mobile device, and I will get the question in front of Bub, because the technical knowledge he possesses, he will forget more in 30 minutes than most people will know in a lifetime. You can see how he sits on the edge of this thing. Additionally, ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing you another way to reach out to us. I do have open, now full-time, the BEM chat room on Blog Talk Radio, our host podcast station. So if you just go to blogtalkradio.com and type in Doing It Bubba Style, you'll see the improvements going up, the new updated promotional pictures up, Bub. of you and I with the SEMA car, and done is the old Bumblebee car that we had. So that was still up there, Bob.
Which leads me to, you guys might want to stay tuned again. If you haven't stayed up to date with some of our stuff that we've been doing, we are probably super interactive on either Facebook, which you guys are watching
Instagram.
Now, or Instagram. Probably Instagram more for like the hottest on the spot, but the two are linked together, so most of them will go off about the same time.
Just tie them up and
right.
talk to them.
So if you guys aren't subscribed to them, hit bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Either look at that online store. By the way, everything on the site all the way through the end of summer is on a 15% off sale. So summer is, summer 15 is the promo code. If there is anything of interest out there, maybe he needs to look at a set of springs. If they aren't listed on that site, send us your questions. We can hook you guys up on those.
Exactly. Send them to us at the Blog Talk site, or our chat room's open now, or to me directly. But funny story, yesterday you and I came home, you and the beautiful Layla and Robin went out for dinner last night. After I got done swimming with the fishes all day, snorkeling, funny story came through from one of our very, very good friends out there, which we can't release, but trust me, they are people who are known in the industry for being as damaging as Bub and I are, very successful people. Your brother Nate will know exactly who I am talking about. We've had that discussion. You want to talk a little bit about that funny story too, Bub?
Listen, dude, it's just so typical, man. Things go wrong and you just have to, I mean, you have no options at some point.
It's just so funny.
Sit back and let it rip.
The story came out of nowhere when they texted you and I with the story about what happened. And
yeah.
They were trying to get away from the shows and get away from everything, and all of a sudden happened. Which is no worse, ladies and gentlemen, seriously, than us. I bought a whole new snorkel setup. I got it all set up through the week. I spent all week long, 5 nights swimming in the pool, right, Bub? Get the equipment all set up. I'm going to go try out this new equipment, right?
The only thing I can see out of this whole story is you looking like Scuba Steve from freaking Adam Sandler's Big Daddy from like 2001.
I'm not aware of that.
I'm going to have to post a picture up later on.
Well, it was pretty funny, ladies and gentlemen. We get out there and we lay out all our stuff after having an argument with the deputy who's trying to tell us the parking lot's full and they've got the lines cleared off like it's some big SWAT maneuver, right? Palm Beach County Sheriff's Deputy. And they want to argue with you, and I'm like, hey, dude, there's 10 parking spots right there. I'm on a Harley. I want to unload my bike, right? So because they were wrong, they couldn't see their way to say, okay, man, go ahead, you can park. It's no big deal. And you ride the bikes because bikes take up less room anyways, right? So we park down the street and we walk up and we get in and we grab the park ranger and we point the whole thing out to the park ranger and he goes, yeah, they should have let you in, man. Yeah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. We get ourselves down. And Robin says, so I brought all your stuff for you. And normally I pack my stuff up before we go, right, Bub? Get out there, and I go, wow, I love my new fins, but where's my snorkel mask?
Yeah.
How do you snorkel with no mask, Bub?
Well, I don't know what to tell you, dude.
So we get out there. I use one of the old ones, right, which is the reason I bought the new one. I swim about 20 yards out. I look up, and, like, there's fish swimming inside my snorkel mask, right, because
Probably.
It didn't fit right. And I get, so I'm like, okay, I'll dump it out. And at this point, the water's 30 feet deep, and you're treading water, and you dump your mask out, and you swim out about 200 yards above. And the next thing you know, I'm like, I'm swimming, I'm like, why am I going in circles? And I look down just in time to see one of my flippers float or sink to the bottom.
Yeah.
At that point, I just took off the other one and let it go down, too.
You should probably just stick to the small section that they have designated as 3 foot only.
Like the kids' pool?
Yeah.
And then we got that text.
Yeah. So, clearly never ends. I did nothing reckless this weekend. I stayed very safe and in my own little padded corner. But I am here back at BEM. You guys, seriously, stay tuned for these before after shots. I'm telling you, we might throw up even a little clip without the sound because these buffers, when you run them, they are literally
They're very loud. They're ear-piercing.
And that's actually the only reason why we've never done actual live of polishing, because these 3M buffers that we run, of course, 3M brand, these things do scream. They are just over 2 horsepower, so they not only take muscle to hold these things, they are heavyweight, and they do some serious work but make a lot of noise. So that's the only reason we've actually never done a live of a polish, but we will do them, and we'll just turn the audio off.
We'll turn the audio off.
So you can see as you're going through the steps, 1 and then 2 and then 3, and then a final hand glaze if you wanted to when you're done.
The other side too, Bub, is it'd be fun to show everybody around the world how to use them, because you don't take and just put it on the paint and start it because it throws it everywhere. There are secrets that you have developed to use the waffles. These are waffles, ladies and gentlemen. You can see we call them waffles because it looks like a waffle, okay? If you look from the side here, you'll also see they're cratered. But these are done this way, and if you know what the secrets are, you can keep from throwing it everywhere, so your cleanup time on the backside is easier. Chris Bollinger says, Bubba, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for liking the third gens. I was afraid I was the only one.
Oh, no chance.
Tell you a funny story, Chris. When I was stationed up in New Hampshire,
I guarantee you the story ends with somehow this car getting wrecked, so we'll just start there. So there's a Camaro that's missing somewhere in the world, this guy.
So I was up in New Hampshire, the kids, everybody were back in Virginia, pouring down snow, pouring down snow. And I needed to get a vehicle to get down to Virginia because they had the vehicle already down.
You don't drive a third gen in snow. I'll just leave it at that.
So I bought this third gen Camaro at this lot. Beautiful car.
Uh-huh.
Loved it, man. 305 car, right?
305 Z28? Or 350, depending on the year, yeah.
Z28, right? 83, 84, something like that, bub, whatever. No,
yeah,
it wasn't that.
Definitely
it was
305.
That. Yeah, something like that. So I'm driving down the road, man, and it's snowing, man, and I get right into north of New Jersey, and the T-top blows out. And here I am in this blinding snowstorm.
So
with
how
the heat
bad
on.
Did you immediately swerve and then wreck the car?
I didn't. Your sister saved that for a couple years later. Remember, she put it up in the woods up in Baltimore.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember that?
I know, dude. You guys just can't handle them.
Runs in the family. So
they weren't that powerful. Max rating on those cars, a 210 horsepower on a 350 TPI. Come on.
Bub, I wrecked your mini bike when you were 4 years old. That had 3 horsepower. I broke my collarbone.
Well, I don't know what to tell
Remember
you,
that?
Dude. Maybe you should learn some of these lessons. That's 30 years ago. You still haven't learned one. None.
It's always wide open throttle.
Yeah.
Spanky knows what I'm talking about.
I know.
He knows what's
so you guys, stay tuned. We will do some before after shots of this GS here pretty soon. I can't wait to get this thing down that home stretch. Once all of this triple plated chrome is on here and this thing is looking like a freaking gem sitting here in the facility, we'll drop in that custom BEM pearl white interior that, by the way, is so gorgeous once we have this top up. Absolute gorgeous the way this car is going to look when it is done. So a couple years in the making. Stay tuned. You guys are going to love it.
Till Friday, bub.
Just keep on doing it Bubba style.
We'll come to you guys with the daily update tomorrow just to say, see, we're connected to you. We just want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. This episode has been brought to you, ladies and gentlemen, by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique, all new. On the web, the moose is loose. On the web, missoutlawboutique.com for the largest variety of Outlaw Boutique accessories and apparels. The girls are killing it out there. Sales are flying out the door. And here comes Bub with a buffer. How about that?
Don't worry.
No, they can't see you, bub. It's all the lighting. You know, the lighting, the stage lighting is real bright, isn't it, man?
Yeah. Whew.
How about that? Orange County Choppers, bub. Orange County Choppers are?
He doesn't understand the concept. When I walk off set, I'm done. So you have to wrap it up yourself now. Do your outro, do your ending, or I'm going to end you over here with the red button.
Orange County Choppers are, bub.
That's it.
Choppers done?
Nope. He didn't.